Morning.
Morning.
I think that's on.
I'm going to ask you to turn with me to the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 1. As you're turning there again, every time I come up here I say this, but I truly mean this. It's a privilege to read God's Word. It's a privilege to touch God's Word. It's a privilege to share God's Word. And it's an awesome responsibility as well. I covet your prayers. I thank you for your prayers. And I thank God for allowing me to do this. Matthew chapter 1, I'm going to read verses 18 through 25, and then we'll start it from that point. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all of this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold the virgin, virgin shall be with child and bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Now Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Let's ask God to bless the reading of his word. Father, as we approach your throne, we thank you once again that we can come before you. Father, we'd ask that you would teach us this morning, that you would be with us, guide our hearts, as it's been prayed already, that you would open our hearts, that we would see you more clearly, your love and your care, your mercy, your grace. So we'd ask that the Holy Spirit teach us, guide us. We ask for your help. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. A little bit of an outline of what we're going to do is I do have a little story taken from one of the Daily Breads back in 2009, since I'm a little slow on my reading. And then we're going to talk a little bit about Mary, talk a little bit about Joseph, talk a little bit about Jesus. And then maybe if we have time, three practical lessons or life lessons that Mary and Joseph can pass on to us by raising a child named Jesus. But since I had nothing to do at 3 this morning, I was reading a variety of Christmas stories. And one of the Christmas stories was by Max Lucado. And this is what I saw a quote, that I just wanted to share this quote with you. Baby Jesus was born to be crucified. He came not just for Bethlehem, but for Calvary. Not just to live with us, but to die for us. Born with love in his eyes and the cross in his heart. Jesus Christ, our Savior, was born to be crucified. I thought that was a nice little phrase. I was reading at 3 o'clock this morning, and I wanted to share that with you. Job said back in his book, in verse 25, For I know that my Redeemer lives, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Well, I'm just showing you some different thoughts from different people over all the ages. Another one was back in 1741. And this is the story from the Daily Bread. It was a composer named George Frederick Handel. He was bankrupt at the time in 1741. And a group of Dublin charities offered him a commission to write a musical work. It was for a benefit performance to raise funds to free men from the debtor's prison. He accepted the commission and gave himself tirelessly to working on it. Well, it seems that it only took him 24 days. Handel composed the well-known masterpiece called Messiah, which contains the Hallelujah chorus. During the 24 days, he never left his home. He stayed in his home all during that time. And one time, often he would go without even eating. And at one point, a servant found him weeping over his evolving score of this musical. Recounting his experience, Handel quoted the Apostle Paul, and this is what he said. "Whether in the body, as I wrote it, I know not. God knows. Afterwards," he also said, I did see all of heaven before me and the great God himself." And if you ever heard the Messiah's theme or song, when you get to that Hallelujah chorus, it just opens up your heart. I had my wife print it out for me this morning when she got up. "And the kingdom of this world, it become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ and of his Christ. And he shall reign forever and ever and forever and ever." And it goes on like that. The Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And what an excitement. And I could see why he would be weeping on the floor, touching his heart as he would be singing these songs. It's a quote that Messiah musical was from. It was from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and the peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice, from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." You see, God's highest gift awakens our deepest gratitude if you're a child of his. The birth of Christ brought God to man. The birth of Christ brought God to man. And the cross of Christ brought man to God. And what a wonderful thought as I go through and see the different generations that get caught up in the heart of God. I want to swing over and start just talking about Matthew chapter 1. Just look at verse 18 for a moment. Matthew 1 and verse 18. And we will be covering Luke chapter 1 and 2, pieces of it. A lot of this will be reading and maybe some comments, some little background about Joseph and about Mary and about Jesus. In verse 18 it says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost." And we go back and we see that there are two gospels that kind of give some detail about Jesus' birth. And Jesus' birth shouldn't just be for this Christmas time of December. And if you really get into the depth of it, it could be the true birth of him could have been back somewhere in September or somewhere in March or April. Nobody knows the exact day, but we celebrated on the 25th. That's what's been put into our minds, into our hearts. You want to know his true birthday? When we get up to heaven, you can ask him and find out exactly when he was born. But his mother, Mary, was espoused to Joseph. And you study the word espoused, and it means they were betrothed. They were engaged to be married. They weren't married at the time. And she was going to come with a child and is going to introduce that child situation to Joseph. And what a dilemma he'll be under. But we'll talk about that in a second. But I want you to see the meaning of Mary. I always thought and understood that Mary meant strong. And it does have the meaning strong. But there's also another meaning that Mary carries with her. It's bitterness. I'm not saying that she had a bitter soul. I'm just saying that that's another name for Mary. And when you see Joseph, we see that his name means to add more to or increaser, one who increases, or may he add. And so we see the combination. And God places emphasis on names. People will tell me their different names. And I will ask many people, well, what does that mean? And a lot of people say, I have no idea. You should know what your name means. It all has something. I'll give you an example. I hope my brother doesn't get a hold of this tape. His name is Wayne, which means flower. And I kind of pick on him a little bit about that because our last name means horse. So I call him Flower Horse. My name, Brian, means strong. So I'm Strong Horse. So I do pick on him a little bit. But don't tell him that. All right. He doesn't like that. What's the background of all of this? Well, I'm going to ask you right now to turn over with me to Luke chapter 1. We'll come back to Matthew. But Luke chapter 1. And I'm going to read verses 26 through 33. And it says this, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, to the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at this saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end." Very similar to Matthew chapter 1. And so we go back and we look at the background. It has been over 400 years since the conclusion of the Old Testament, Malachi. During the 400 plus years, Judea has been subject to several foreign powers presently dominated by the Roman Empire. In the midst of all these political struggles, some devout men and women are waiting for the Messiah, the promised one, the one they believe would free them from the foreign power that they're under currently. Mary, a teenage girl from the town of Nazareth, is one of these devout people. It almost sounds like we're going into a story, right? But we are going into a story. Mary was a daughter from the tribe of Judah, a young maiden in her teens, betrothed to Joseph, who was a local carpenter. Out of all the young Jewish ladies in Judea, why is she selected to give birth to this Christ child? Did you ever stop and think, why Mary? Why was she the one that was picked out? Well, you could say different things. God made it clear. She was highly favored. Why was she highly favored? She was found in favor with God, not only highly favored, but found in favor. So twice it was mentioned she was favored. Jesus said she was the chosen one. Elizabeth later on would say that she was blessed amongst women. So didn't Gabriel say that, the angel? The interesting thing is, I would just suggest, because it never, other than being highly favored, we would find some different qualities in her. One, she was humble. You want to have a high place with God? Stay humble, beloved. Take the high road, and the high road is humility. And he will elevate you in due time, it says in 1 Peter chapter 5. And she also had a gentle and quiet spirit about her. And she will need that gentle and quiet spirit later on when she has to give birth to this wonderful child that she's carrying. Now I'm going to just take you a little bit further and to read verses 34 through 38. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. What a beautiful scenery this is. First of all, it wasn't a dream. We see that Gabriel himself, an angel who is spirit, cannot be seen, displays himself before her, somehow reveals words. Was it a picture? No, it doesn't really say, other that he stood before God, but he was present with her, with Mary. She was troubled. She had fear in her, a little bit scared. The amazing regarding Mary is that the selection, when she receives the news, what she did was she was not skeptical and she was not hesitant. She was one of those people in this political time that was waiting for the Messiah to come, the chosen one, the promised one. She simply asked a question over in verse 34. How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And it wasn't a question that God could or could not do this. It wasn't a question, why did you pick me, God? It was a question of, how is it going to happen? And so right away, she had accepted the will of God in her life. Gabriel gives her the how in verses 35 through 37, and you will be overshadowed by the Holy Ghost. And however God performs it, and you look at the submissiveness of Mary, and it simply says, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. And she looked at herself as a servant of God. If this, now look at the danger she just put herself into, and she wasn't considering the danger. The danger was, when we go over and see about Joseph, they were betrothed with each other, but betrothal. And we see that a betrothal usually lasts from 10 to 12 months. It's not like an engagement today. An engagement today, you may find either party being disrespectful to either party, breaking off their engagement or seeing other opposite sexes. And it's not the same. Back then, a betrothal was almost as if you were, in fact, married. And if you did have relationships with someone else, that could cause a divorce. But hers was even more dangerous. Hers was that she would have a child. And that would, now if you were in Egypt, what they would do, if you were dishonorable in your betrothal, they would cut off your nose. That sounds kind of scary, but that's what they would do, and that would be the marking that you would have. If you were in Rome, they would cut off your nose and your ears. If you were a Jew, they would stone you to death. So you see, it wasn't a pretty situation that Mary was now in. But without hesitation, one chosen of God, highly favored, ready to do the will of God in her life, she accepted the challenge. She would accept, whether she thought about it or not, we don't have that type of information. But what we do know is that she was very submissive, a servant. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. Whatever you want, God, I'm your servant. Verses 39 through 50. Well, I don't know if I'll read all 55, but let's go 39. Well, let me just summarize this. Start with 39. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come unto me? For lo, as soon as the voice of the salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb with joy. And blessed is she that believeth that there shall be a performance of these things which were told from the Lord. And then Mary goes into the Magnificat. And we'll cover that a little bit later. I'm not going to read all those particular issues. But that Magnificat, again, we'll cover it later, but it shows the heart of Mary. A heart that you and I could learn from. As we learn from the heart of Mary what to actually do. And so when we come back to this, you will see the depth of this. What we do see, though, that Mary travels to her older relative, Elizabeth. And Elizabeth is pregnant. An older lady is now pregnant with child. And they didn't have ultrasound back then, I understand. They didn't have blood testing to tell if it was a boy or a girl. But Gabriel knew. Gabriel had said that Elizabeth is with a son. And so, blessing. We come and we see that when Mary actually greets Elizabeth, the babe, John the Baptist, jumps inside Mary's womb, 6 months pregnant, and the baby's moving. I guess that's not uncommon, but it does happen. What we do see here is faith from Mary, because she has now not only been a servant of God, but she has taken the word of God and applied it in her life. And she went to visit Elizabeth, a handmaiden, a servant, to help Elizabeth in these last few months of this pregnancy. Faith will manifest itself at least in four different ways. By the doctrine. As you read your Bible, and God places in you that faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we see it can be displayed as you are enjoying it and being refreshed from your scriptures. Faith is also shown and displayed in worship. This morning, if you were at the worship service, that we reflect on God and watch the heart, whether it be silent or audible, these are great and wonderful things. Faith comes forth and flows from that. The third way of faith is fellowship with mankind. Brothers and sisters in the Lord of like-mindedness who have the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you which is in Christ Jesus. Philippians 2 and 5. That shows forth the faith that we can have as we share scripture with one another. And then another way, and I'm sure there's other ways, but the fourth way would be obedience to the scriptures that you have read. You place them in your heart. And you don't just leave it there, but you let the scriptures direct you, guide you, and you perform to its fullest. And so we see Mary was full of faith. Faith produces trust in God. The more you go out on the limb and have the faith that God's word is true and perform it, then you can see and experience God, and so your trust builds in God. And you see that the Lord Jesus Christ is elevated, honored, and glorified if you walk in those four different elements of faith. I want you to go back to Matthew chapter 1. We're going into Joseph now. You've heard a little bit about Mary. And we go into Joseph, the increaser. We talked about him. He will add, or he may he add. And we see that in Matthew 1 and 19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. No dream, no angel at this point in time. This point in time, we stop and we look and we see that he has been described as a just man. A just man in the Jewish nation means a man that follows intently the law of God. Joseph is in a dilemma. He knows. Now, when a mom has become pregnant for the first time, maybe you don't see the stomach right away. But as time goes on, the stomach shows. Mary has been away for at least 3 months, maybe more. As she returns, and now whether they talked about it, we don't know. What we do know is that she's now with child and she's showing. They're not married. Matthew says and calls them husband and wife, but at that time in the Jewish law, a betrothal, you would call them a husband or a wife, even though they would not consummate the marriage. And they would be referred that way, and they took the law seriously like that. And that type of betrothal, is that engagement, is much different than we have today. During this time, there were no physical relationships. It only could be broken. The situation, what Joseph knew was the Jewish law. If she committed adultery, she would be stoned to death. But Joseph also knew other pieces of the law. And maybe he could get around some of this, because he did not want to make her a public example. He loved Mary, and he cared for what was happening. And look in verse 19, and it says he wanted to put her away, and then verse 20 happens. Now, verse 20, you don't know if it's afternoon or in the evening, when he was thinking the first thoughts of putting her away privately, but then it comes to verse 20. But while he thought on these things, stop. While he thought on these things, he was going through a mental battle, maybe even a spiritual battle. And behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream. So he had fallen off into a slumber time. And a lot of times in the Old Testament, that they would have visions by way of dreams. This is still, you got to remember that the Gospels are a transition of old to the new. And so this is still a portion of the Old Testament. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph. This has got to be touching, because we see a like-mindedness of Joseph that he has, that Mary had. The servant of God, one ready at any cost to do the will of God. And we see, thou son of David, fear not to take thee Mary, thy wife. Let me calm your thoughts down, Joseph. Let me handle you a little bit differently than Mary, because you are the spiritual leader. You are the one who has to protect her. And we look and we see that he says, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. The message is the same. An honorable woman will stay honorable. Later on in Scripture, in the book according to John, the Gospel according to John, you will see a statement like, oh, this is Jesus, the son of a carpenter. Which shows you that whatever Joseph did was honoring and holding back the private and not making her public. Because if it was public and she was carrying a child and everybody thought it was adultery, then they would have said, oh, this is Jesus, the son of a harlot. But it didn't say that, the son of a carpenter. And so whatever he did correctly. He followed the will of God. Look at verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. Again, the message, very close to the other message. Of all the young Jewish men in Judea, why was Joseph chosen? Well, one of the main reasons Joseph was chosen was he was betrothed to Mary. Mary is the leader on this one, even though Joseph will have a major part in all of this. He was chosen because he was betrothed to Mary, and he was a just man. The Jewish people, again, knew that he had to follow the law because he was known with a testimony as a just man. Beloved, are you a just man? Are you a just woman? Are you a just teenager? Do you know your scriptures? Do you know the law of God? Do you know his mercy? Do you know his grace? And when you go through times of trials and tribulations or go through times of prosperity, do you follow the depth of the word of God? I don't want to say the law of God, but the word of God. Does mercy come from you? Does grace come from you? Does love show through you and in you and by you? You see, Joseph being a just man, but he was also a man that, if you look at him, he was kind. And he was tender, and he was merciful, and he was not willing to make Mary a public example. Again, I told you about the penalty, so I won't bore you with that again. In 19, it says he was a just man. He was minded to put her away under the law, but Joseph did not want Mary's character destroyed, ruined. Mary was innocent, but Joseph was not satisfied in her innocence until he had godly counsel. He had that great dilemma, and God took care of it. God approached him. He thought on these things. Beloved, when we look at the Word of God, we have to think on these things. We have to look deep into his scriptures. Look at the content. Look at the words that is being used. Look what's there and what's not there. He took the core. If Joseph took the core of the law, it would have been violent and unjust. It would have affected his happiness, Mary's happiness, his character, and Mary's character. The reputation would have been destroyed, probably in both parties. God will guide the thoughtful. So meditate on Scripture. Hold it close to your heart. Psalm 25 and verse 9 says, "The meek will he guide with judgment, and the meek will he teach his way." Again, Joseph received godly counsel by way of a dream, again common in the Old Testament. Fear not. Do not worry and do not be anxious. God tells us to fear not, right? And so none of us worry anymore. None of us are anxious anymore because we fear God. We hold on to God's word, right? And of course, we all get anxious. God is gracious. Be thoughtful on his word. He'll calm your spirit. If you really get yourself in a real tizzy, then I suggest strongly that you read 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 11, and you will see the comfort and the encouragement of God over and over and over again. Take unto thee Mary for thy wife. Recognize and treat Mary as your wife. For that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Ghost. This is God ordained. This is God's performance. This is God's plan. This is God's purpose. Joseph and Mary, understand you're carrying the Holy One. How do you bring up a holy child? How do you bring up one that knows all the rules and whatever he says is scripture? How do you bring a child up like that? His brothers had trouble with it. Joseph is directed by an angel to receive Mary as pure and virtuous, and as every way worthy of his love, because it was worthy of God's love. And then we come down to verse 21 again, and we see in verse 21 and 25, he will call him Jesus. And we look at, and every message should be centered around this name. The message of Jesus, God himself, God saves, God is Savior. He says, and he shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. This expression, he shall save, is similar or the same as his name. His, just by saying Jesus, if I said Joshua, that's the same name in Hebrew as Jesus. We see in John 16, verses 7 and 8, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Is it expedient for you that I go away? If I do not go away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteous judgment. You see, beloved, we see he saves us by dying. He could not come off the cross. He had to stay and take the full price and the wrath of God. And this is what Mary and Joseph were going to raise. A child like this that would grow up to give his life so that you and I would have life. And then he would go away so that we would have the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Advocate, to be with us at all times. Because if you read your scriptures and you do not understand your scriptures, he's the teacher. He will show you. But what was the key? We have to be thoughtful on these words. We see his saving power enables us to overcome our spiritual enemies. There's like eight different things about his saving grace. That's the third one. The first one, he had to die. The second one, he gives the Holy Spirit. The third one, he enables us to overcome spiritual enemies. The fourth one, he defends us from danger. Do you ever stop and think why you have to sit at a red light a little bit longer, or why you go to every light and it turns red? This is my car. I hit every red light. And if you don't believe me, Phyllis has taken my car without me in it, and I guess it's me then, because she says she goes through green lights, and I have to stop at every red light. Well, anyways, we see number five is he guides us in the path of his duty. We have to take on the Spirit the way Mary and Joseph did, the servant, the handmaid of God. And sixth way is he sustains us in trials, even in death. I think of my beloved neighbor, Harry. On November 17th, he turned 80 years old. Every time we would talk about God, he would change the subject. His brother from Arizona comes in on his birthday, who's a pastor, and simply presents the Gospels to Harry. He understood it, and he accepted Jesus on his... That's like a miracle in itself, isn't it? And he accepts Jesus. So it doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, where you are in life. A thief on the cross would die hours after Jesus would die. And Jesus simply said to him, today you'll be with me in paradise. What a God that we have. So he'll sustain us in trial. Seven, he raises us up on the last day when he calls us home. And then eight, he exalts us to a world of purity and love and bliss called heaven. We have the three tenses of our salvation in those eight different things. Jesus came to save his people. I have to move along. I'm not going to talk about Mary's sorrows and the bitterness. Well, I'll just mention one or two of them because I want to get into the three practical lessons that we can carry from this Christmas story. You see, when they come to the eighth day and they go in to see Simeon, back in Luke chapter 2, verses 33 through 35. What does Simeon say in verse 35? This is going to pierce the heart. In Luke chapter 2, verse 35, this will pierce the heart of Mary. Talking about Jesus. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts might be revealed. Let's go back. I'll read the three verses. And Joseph and his mother marveled at these things that were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, the child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And we see that the bitter cup that our Lord Jesus Christ drank at the cross of Calvary, dying for you and for me, bearing the wrath of God, taking our sin upon him. Mary was right there watching her son take all the brunt and the wrath of God. 3 hours of darkness, he became sin. Mary was also there on Resurrection Day. And she was with the disciples. The last time you hear of Mary is in Acts chapter 1, verse 14. And she was with the disciples praying, waiting. But that's some of the bitterness that Mary had to watch her son. Another place is back over in verse 49. It says, when Jesus left behind in Jerusalem at the age of 12, remember he was left behind, they took off. And what did Jesus say to mom and Joseph? Know ye not that I have to be about my father's business? It doesn't sound like that would touch the soul of Mary, does it? Just a simple statement like that. But if you're a mom that loves your child, and then you hear your child say, I'm independent of you right now. You see, I'm about my father's business, and it's not Joseph. I'm about my father's business. That would touch a mother's soul. Realizing. And then when he was at the marriage in Cana of Galilee, and Jesus said, when she asked for help, and Jesus said, woman, which is respectful, by the way, what have I to do with thee? My hour has not yet come. And that would touch the soul of Mary again. He would do what Mary asked, but at the same time, he made it clear, we now have a separation here, and I have to do what I have to do. My ministry has begun. I'm going to go to the cross, and you're not coming. What are the practical lessons here? I didn't think I had enough time. I didn't think I had enough message today. I guess I do. Well, the first one is this. Hide God's words in your heart. Hide God's words in your heart. You know, when we go back to Luke chapter 2, 46 through 56, and you see Mary's Magnificat, you see that? There are at least 14, maybe 15 quotes of the Old Testament there. I'll give you an example. Rejoice in God, my Savior. Verse 47, Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 18. Verse 48, regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 11. That's Hannah. 49, is mighty, hath done to me great things. That's Psalm 71, verse 19. Or Psalm 126, verses 2 and 3. Oh, there's more coming down. I don't have the time. He hath helped his servant Israel. Isaiah 41, verse 8. In verse 55 of the Magnificat, to his seed forever. Genesis chapter 17, verse 19. She quotes at least 14 or 15 verses from the Old Testament. And we call it the Song of Mary, Mary's Magnificat. You see, when we look at that and we hide God's word in our heart, that's when we seek to bring thoughts to the Lord's table that overflow by way of God's word in adoration and in love, whether it be audible or whether it be silent. You hide God's word in your heart. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you. Hebrews 6 and 5, I have tasted the good word of God. Mary was favored and blessed. When an angel showed up before her with God's word, plan, and purposes, she did not question God. She moved towards the will of God. Joseph did the exact same thing in a different way. The second lesson that we can learn is spend time alone with God. Shut off the TV. Shut off the radio. Get away from the computer, unless your Bible's on it. And spend time alone with God. Luke chapter 2, verse 19, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. After Jesus' birth and arrival of the shepherds who declared how the angelic beings appeared to them, she pondered these things. She spent time alone with God. You see it in Luke 1, verse 39 through 45, and in the other verses we've read. Joseph and Mary, and I emphasize Mary, but Joseph also, spent time reflecting on these things. If you do that, God will show you what he has done. He will show you what he is doing. He will show you what he will do. Mary, many times it is this kind of solitude that makes a difference between being an ordinary Christian and an extraordinary Christian. Spend time alone with God. One last one is this. Respond positively to the will of God. If you see it in his word, do it. Joseph, a just man, verse 20 of Matthew 1. A just man was in a difficult mindset. He needed godly counsel. Well, he got it. He received it, and the angel said, take Mary on. Love her. Adore her. Be with her. Protect her. And he did. Well, it says, but while he thought on these things, an angel, a dream, the godly counsel came forth. In Luke chapter 1, verse 26 through 33, again, we see that Mary was told an amazing thing would happen. She would conceive without knowing a man. Her response, even though she probably did not fully understand all of this, how could this be? I didn't know anybody. She was humble. She was submissive to God's will. Beloved, be submissive to God's will. Again, this will show you the difference between an ordinary Christian and an extraordinary Christian. Let's close in prayer. Father, we come before you asking you once again to continue to put the words of your scriptures deep into our heart. May we hide them there, so that we may not sin against you, so that we can walk righteously, so we can do your will. To do this, Father, we must meditate. To do this, we must spend time alone with you. And as we do, Father, we know that you will bless us accordingly. It says in Scripture, a righteous man availeth much. And Father, you are the center of our life. You are the preeminence of our life. As we walk in your footsteps, may you receive the honor and glory that's due you at all times. We ask that you bless each and every one. May everyone have a Merry Christmas. And again, until we meet again, may you bless each and every one according to the riches of your grace. And we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.